Hello, world. This is Wichita.
Once more, dear home, I with rapture behold thee and meet the
King. The Wichita Eagle, the newspaper of the great Southwest since 1872, once again opens its rich storehouse of history to bring you another story of your city and mine. Come along with us on a trip down memory lane to yesterday. Listen to This is Wichita. The First Federal Quartet opens our show tonight with the selection In the Little Red Schoolhouse.
In the little red schoolhouse with a book and sleigh. In the little red schoolhouse I was always lay. I long to be back there where I was a scholar in the days of yore. Now I'd stand right up there and holler, two and two are four, when we should have been learning about the golden rule. Little hearts were yearning for the swimming pool. When I was late, the teacher said, go bring your father right away. I brought my dad, and after that, he came most every day. Oh, gee, jiminy gee, I want to be in the little red schoolhouse.
10 o'clock, the spelling lesson's
just begun.
Johnny throws an ink ball
just for fun.
Hits the teacher's ear with an awful spat. She turns around and says,
who did that? Pretty little Percy in the very front row
lifts up his head and says, teacher, I know.
Little Johnny whispers to the teacher's pride,
you just wait till I get you outside.
Johnny's told to stand up with his face to the wall. He says, I don't want to, and he tries to stall. If I stood up there, I'd take an awful chance. I got a great big tear in the seat of my pants.
In the little red schoolhouse with my book and sleigh. In the little red schoolhouse I was always late. I long to be back there where I was a scholar in the days of yore. How I'd stand right up there and holler, two and two are four,
when we should have been learning about the golden rule.
Our little hearts were yearning for the swimming pool.
You know that we
could hardly wait for the 4 o'clock bell. The moment that we heard it, we would run like mad. Oh, gee, jiminy gee, I want to be in the little red schoolhouse.
Now the Wichita Eagle Concert Orchestra, under the direction of Russell Lowe, offers Morris Dance from the Henry VIII Suite No. 1 by Edward German.
Thank you.
Since 1872, the Wichita Eagle has always extended a warm hand of welcome to the newcomers. The doormat of Wichita has always read, "Welcome, stranger." And today we welcome the men and women who seek to settle in Wichita, the air capital. In order to assist you in finding good lodging, the Eagle offers its classified ad section, the largest in Kansas. And if you don't find what you want in this section, just call the Eagle Classified Ad Department. There you will find willing assistance for the Eagle in cooperation with members of the Wichita Real Estate Board of Advertising in the Eagle will assist you in solving your rental problems. Remember, it's always best to look in the Eagle for news, for classified ads, for comics, and for the world's finest features. And now we lift the curtain on another drama inspired by the back files of the Wichita Eagle. Tonight we tell the story of those young folks who got to be old folks in time, those youngsters of the old Fourth Ward School in Wichita. It was way, way back there when your grandfather was just a boy. And as we look over the many copies of the Eagle, especially those dated around 1888 and 89, we find that the older generation was, just a little bit worried about that younger generation. Those harum's carum boys of the old Fourth Ward School. Now, if you don't think it was serious, well, you can just take the word of the mule car driver. Oh, there he is. Yes, driving his little 12-passenger mule car on the old line, and they're just approaching the turn of the corner of Central and...
Why are you stopping here?
Sorry, miss, but I got her.
But nobody wants to get on or off. Can't you hurry these mules along?
Doing the best I can.
But I simply must get downtown. I have an elocution lesson to take.
Well, I'm right sorry, miss, but we're approaching the turn at Topeka.
Well, you have to stop the mules just for that.
No, but, miss, there's a little wooden culvert there on Topeka, and that's the hangout of a certain gang of hoodlums what can just about wreck our entire transportation system.
But I don't understand. What do they do?
Well, one of their favorite tricks is putting dynamite caps on the rails.
Dynamite caps?
Yep. And then when they see the mule car coming, they run and hide under that culvert and just wait for the trouble to start.
Mercy, what happens?
Well, miss, when this here car hits them caps and them mules hear that explosion, you'll get bounced and jiggled and bumped so fast you think you're inside a churn. And 10 to 1, we'll end up crosswise of the track and not get downtown for 2 hours.
Oh, dear, I hope they haven't put any on the rails this morning.
So do I, but we'll soon find out. Here we go. Get up. Come on, get up. Well, they better hang on. Anything's liable to happen with them hoodlums at large.
No, but they should be in school. I heard the last bell ring.
Shaw, did you ever hear the word hooky?
Well, it's one consolation to think that my young brother wouldn't be in with those boys.
Is that so? Is your brother named Tommy Jeffin?
Why, yes. But don't tell me he's in that gang.
In it? He's the leader.
What?
Well, here we are, rounding the curve. I hope we make it. Take it. We've jumped the track. Concern them rascals if I could just get my hands on them.
Mother, Father, I tell you something must be done with Tommy. He's becoming a young heathen.
Oh, now, sis.
Oh, don't you try to deny it, Tommy. You were with those bad boys who put the dynamite caps on the track today and derailed the mule car.
Tommy, did you do that?
Well, go on, Tommy. Answer your mother. Did you or did you not assist in derailing the mule car?
Which mule car was it, Father?
Oh, listen to him. Which mule car? He knows good and well which one.
I believe he does. I've heard about these young scalawags and the trouble they're causing the mule car system.
Oh, Father, it was simply terrible. But the mule just went crazy.
That's right.
The car was pulled clear off the track, and I was a full hour late for my elocution lesson.
Tommy, you ought to be ashamed.
I have a good notion to take you out the woodshed, Tommy.
Oh, she did. We were just having a little fun.
Well, that kind of fun isn't appreciated. Now, if I hear any more about your shenanigans tonight, I'll warm your trousers. Understand?
Yes, sir.
Bring me my paper. We'll settle down and do a little reading, I guess. Where's he?
Oh, Father, you can't read in the parlor tonight.
What?
No, John, not tonight.
Why not? How come?
Well, Catherine's rehearsing for the Literary Society tonight. You know they have a program next week.
Oh, gosh, Mom. Are we going to have to listen to them two yell and screech again tonight?
Now, Thomas, you mustn't belittle the artistic endeavors of your sister.
Yes. And, Tommy, if you do one more thing to embarrass Mr. Sillenthistle, I personally will see that you get a good spanking.
Why, Tommy, you haven't been rude to Mr. Sillenthistle, have you?
Not much. He just stands and laughs every time we try to rehearse our dialogue.
Oh, well, I can't help it. He's got false teeth, and they whistle when he tries to recite.
Now, Tommy, you know very good and well Mr. Sillenthistle hasn't false teeth.
Oh, yes, he has. And what's more, you're going to lose your best bull if you ain't careful with all your practicing with old Sillenthistle.
What? Lose my... Now, just what do you mean by that?
You know what I mean. George Hawkins ain't hankering to have a girl who can't do nothing but practice silly stuff with old hi-hat miser like Sillenthistle.
And I suppose George has said something to that effect to you.
No, he didn't have to. I could see it. Well, before you got to take up elocution, you and him used to sit in the parlor and spoon. Now, whenever he comes over, all he hears is you and Sillenthistle practicing at their dialogue.
Well, I gave George a chance to appear with me, but he wouldn't do it. So I just had to get Mr. Sillenthistle.
Well, sure. George ain't going to get up and make no fool of himself.
Oh, now, Thomas. Catherine and Mr. Sillenthistle will do very commendable. They're going to win the prize for the best dialogue, I'm sure.
Prize? Gee, Mom, you haven't heard them, have you?
Now, Tommy, I don't want to hear another word out of you. Besides, if I do, that must be Mr. Sillenthistle now. Well, I'm glad he got here on time.
Oh, it's you.
Sure. Who'd you expect? Isn't it the night I always come over?
No, I suppose it is. But I'm going to be awfully busy tonight, George.
But, Kathy,
Now, George, you know that the grand competition for the elocution at the Literary Society is just a few nights off. Mr. Sillenthistle and I have to practice every night.
Oh, that guy again.
Well, George, you had your chance. You could have been Mark Hansen to my Cleopatra. I asked you first.
Yeah, but I can't get up in front of people and recite. Oh, gosh, Kathy, that just isn't my style.
Why, what's the matter, George? Does the audience frighten you?
Oh, no, Mama. I'm not scared of them. I just can't talk when I get up in front of them, I guess.
Yes, I know just how you feel, George. I had to read a paper for the Literary Society last year. I like to shook down Garfield Hall.
Oh, that must be Mr. Sillenthistle. Now, I want all of you to be quiet while we practice. And that especially goes for you, Tommy.
Oh, come in, Mr. Sillenthistle. Here, I'll take your hat.
Thank you.
You know all of your piece?
Yeah, well, almost. I think I'd have learned it better, but had some trouble with some bad boys.
Oh, is that so? Nothing serious, I hope.
Afraid it is. That fourth word gang of hoodlums, which I'm sorry to say your brother is one of the worst, they turned a civet cat into my house.
What?
Yes, sir. They just opened the door and dumped it in.
You mean they dumped a polecat in your house?
I think I'm going to have to move. I've already had to bury one of my best suits.
George, there's nothing funny about it.
They did it just because I reported some of them for playing hooky. This younger generation.
And you say my son was in on it?
Yes, absolutely. Mm.
Thomas, where are you going?
Well, I was just going upstairs to bed. I'm kind of sleepy.
Well, I'll wake you up. I'll fix you all right. I told you if I heard any more of your shenanigans, I'd warm your trousers.
Oh, but Mr. Jeffin, do you have to?
He certainly does. Father, you do your duty.
Don't worry, I am. Thomas, fetch me my razor strap. Come on, we're going out the woodshed.
Oh, gee, Dad, we didn't mean nothing.
Nothing. Wait. Well, they placed me at the mercy of a polecat, and it's nothing.
Come on, what? Thomas, come on. Get that strap. We're going out to the woodshed right now.
Oh, poor Tommy.
George, I'll thank you not to waste your sympathy. Come, Mr. Sillenthistle. Shall we begin our practice?
Yes. I'll carry on as best I can.
Now, remember, I'll announce that we're going to do the famous scene from the drama of Mark Antony and Cleopatra.
Yes.
Now, you have the first line.
Yes. Ah, Cleopatra, sullen siren, whose sensitive soul worshipped high...
Oh, go on. That's just comedy. Tommy getting what he needs. Go on.
Yes. To be sure. I adore thee. Oh, my sweet essence of soulful music.
Oh, Mark Anthony, only you know the lyrics of love. Only you.
What's that mean?
Father, don't interrupt us. We're practicing now.
I just brought him in.
Now, Tommy, if you're going to stay here, you must sit down.
Sit down? Gosh, I won't be able to sit down for a week, thanks to you and old Whistle Thistle. Gosh, you ain't leaving, are you?
Oh, yeah. It's no use, Tommy. Looks like your sister and that guy will be playing Mark Anthony and Cleopatra all night.
Yeah, they sure are going at it. Gee, I hate him.
I can't say that I blame you. No fooling now, Tommy. Just between you and me, do you think he's kind of stuck on Catherine?
Sure he is. You know, I heard him telling her that while he was older than her, he had a nice home and money in the bank.
Oh, he did, huh? Well, do you think she thinks he's somebody?
Sure she does. She won't even believe he's got false teeth.
Tommy, an awfully funny idea just coming into my head. Something that would sure cause old Sill and Sissel a lot of misery on the night the Literary Society meets.
Gosh, George, I'll bet I'm thinking the same thing you are.
Yeah? Well, of course, I don't know how it could be done, but if by some strange twist of fate, Sill and Sissel's false teeth got lost on the night that the Literary Society meets...
And he had to try to recite without them.
Uh-huh. You know, Tommy, that would sure be a mighty good act. In fact, if there was some way that his false teeth should get lost, I'd be awful willing to pay 50 cents to hear him say, "Ah, Cleopatra, Ellen, the siren whose sensitive soul I adore."
You know, George, that might happen. And it wouldn't even cost you 50 cents. You see, this here Literary Society meets on Halloween night.
Huh?
And you know how things sort of happen to folks like Sill and Sissel that night.
Say, why, George, that Halloween night? Are you sure it's the same night?
Yep.
But now, just how would one go about getting old Sill and Sissel's false teeth?
Oh, don't worry. You see, he keeps them in a glass on a table near his window.
Yeah?
And me and my gang have got the whole thing figured out. Yeah. Now, don't you worry, George. I got a hunch he's going to do plenty of howling on Halloween.
Thomas.
Yes, Father?
I see by the eagle that this little trouble, they're sort of expecting a little trouble tonight.
Trouble, Father?
Yes, don't look so innocent. You know this is Halloween night.
Is it, Father?
Now, you know good and well it is. Now, Thomas, we're all going to the meeting of the Literary Society to hear your sister and her recitations and dialogue.
Yes, Father, I'm going to help backstage.
What? Help backstage? You mean you hadn't planned to get out with those Fourth Ward hoodlums on Halloween night?
Well, I'm going to help backstage.
Well, Thomas, this almost convinces me that I'm dreaming. But I'm mighty glad to hear it, mighty glad. I understand that extra deputies are being placed on duty tonight to keep you scalawags from soaping up windows and carrying off fences.
Extra policemen?
Yes. Now, isn't that a fine situation? When a town has to protect itself by hiring a whole army... just to keep you boys in line on Halloween?
Yes, Father.
Oh,
ma'am. Yeah, yes, Ma, what is it? Are you ready?
Yes, I'm all ready.
Oh,
are you ready?
Yes, I've been waiting on you.
Well, come on, let's lock the front door and put the key under the mat.
Yes.
I guess we are ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear, the eagle says this is Halloween night. I do hope there won't be any trouble.
Well, apparently our chief worry is eliminated. Thomas tells me that he's going to assist backstage in the Literary Society.
Oh, now, isn't that nice? Mm-hmm. At least he won't be playing any Halloween pranks.
Yep.
Be sure that door's locked, Lamb.
Yes, I will. Yeah, there it is. Yeah. Hope we've got a house when we get back.
Dear, why doesn't he come? We're supposed to appear right out of the piano solo, and it's next. Oh, George, I'm so worried.
Oh, gee, I'm sorry, Catherine. Maybe old Sill and Sissel couldn't find his teeth.
Now, George, that's very unkind. Tommy, don't just stand there. Run down the street and see where he is. Why, I'd just be embarrassed to tears if I can't go on when I'm supposed to. Oh, there's the audience applauding for that Meadows girl. Now comes the piano solo and then us.
And now the Literary Society takes pleasure in presenting Miss Marigold Schmidt and a piano recital.
Oh, dear, there goes the piano solo, and we're on next. And I've got no Mark Anthony.
Here he is, sis, just in time.
Oh, Mr. Sill and Sissel, where have you been?
Miss Jeffin, a tragedy has befallen me.
What are you saying?
I can't talk. Somebody has stolen my false
teeth. Your teeth? Oh, Mr. Sill and Sissel, you have to go on.
But I can't talk. I can't even pronounce my own name. The villain, Sissel. Oh, you see... Oh, if I ever find a thief that stole my teeth.
Tommy, you wouldn't know anything about this, would you?
Who, me?
He looks mighty guilty.
Well, we haven't got time to argue now. Mr. Sill and Sissel, teeth or no teeth, you've got to play Mark Anthony. I've practiced too long on my dialogue not to present it.
My dear Miss Jefferson, how can I talk? There's too many S's in my speech. How can I say, oh, Cleopatra, fallen siren of the world?
I don't know, but you must talk. Oh, look, I can't talk myself now.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, comes the treat of the evening. Miss Jeffin and Mr. Sill and Sissel in a dialogue entitled Mark Anthony and Cleopatra.
Oh, that's us. We're on. Come on, you've got to talk.
But Miss Jeffin...
Come on, you've got to talk.
Oh, Tommy, I owe you a debt for life. How could I ever repay you?
Well, guys, just don't tell no one that I stole his teeth. And don't tell no one I didn't stay backstage here, because I'm going now.
Oh, but Tommy, where are you going?
Well, gosh, George, this is Halloween. Oh. And me and my gang has got a million things to do. Well, so long. And remember, mum's the word.
All right, Tommy, mum's the word.
That was the funniest thing that I ever heard. Best program the Literary Society ever put on.
I was never so disgraced in my life. I still think Tommy had something to do with Mr. Sill and Sissel losing his false teeth.
Oh, that was good, Catherine. When Sill and Sissel came to all of those S's, I thought I'd pop.
Oh, Len, stop laughing so loudly. People will think you're crazy.
Oh.
Look at the way those awful Halloween pranksters have marked up the windows.
Oh, well, we got to expect that, Mother. But that stealing Sill and Sissel's teeth was a stroke of genius.
There's nothing humorous about it. And, Father, you've got to find out if Tommy had anything to do with it.
Catherine, don't blame Tommy.
Why shouldn't I? He's usually guilty of something awful's been done.
Oh, but not this time. Catherine, I did it.
What? You, George?
Yes, yes. I was jealous of Sill and Sissel because he had the nerve to recite in the Literary Society, and I didn't. And...
What? Oh, George, you awful, terrible...
Now, wait a minute, Catherine, wait a minute. You can't blame George for not liking that fussy old Sill and Sissel. I don't blame him. I don't like him either. But he didn't steal the teeth.
Oh, yes, I did, Mr. Jeffin.
No, I'm sorry, George, but I know the whole story.
What?
Yes. I overheard you and Tommy plotting the other night.
Uh-huh.
It's nice of you to come through like a man and take the blame, but... That young rascal. Well, boy, am I did the dirty work. Oh, I'm still in
fit. Father, you knew this all the time and you didn't do anything to stop it?
Of course not.
Oh,
boys got to be boys. Oh, I had a big laugh out the way Tommy thought he was fooling me, you know. He was going to work backstage.
Yeah.
The little Dickens, he was out Halloween pranking just like a regular boy.
Oh, gee, Mr. Jeffin. You're swell to think it like this. Tommy really isn't a bad boy. None of those kids are.
I know, of course. They have to be tamed ever so often, but they're all right. Oh, but Halloween, Lordy, we got to expect them to soap up windows and carry off gates. We did it when we were boys, didn't we? Oh, but that taking those false teeth and poor old Sissel.
Oh, Lamb, stop your laughing. Here we are at home, and it's late. So wake
all
up
right.
The neighbors. Unlock the door.
Yeah, sure. I still laugh when I think of it.
Oh, Lamb, stop your laughing. Come on in, George, and I'll fix some cocoa, and we'll have some cookies before you go.
Well, am I welcome?
Why, certainly. Catherine will forgive you.
I'm not so sure whether I will or not.
Oh, please, Kathy. I did it because I love you.
Oh, of course he did. Come on in. Come on in. Sit down, children, all of you. I sure feel fine tonight. Best laugh I've had in weeks. Look. Here comes Tommy. He's rushing home. Now, he'll have a story about how he had to run some errand or do something. But, of course, he wasn't out with those Halloween pranksters. Oh, no.
Gee, I'm sorry I was late, Father.
Oh, yes, I know. You're sorry. I know, son. You had an errand to run. Thomas, wasn't that too bad about Mr. Sillensissel losing his teeth?
Huh? Oh, did he, Father?
Oh, did he? Father, I insist you whip Tommy.
Oh, now, Kathy.
Why, Catherine... Can you look at this innocent young man and accuse him of stealing the teeth of a member of the literary society?
Come on, Kathy. Let's forget it. Look at that face of innocence.
Oh, Tommy, how can you look so innocent and do so much damage?
Oh, Thomas, you are a case.
Me, Mother?
He's just a boy. Just a boy. But now, Thomas, Halloween's over. And of course, I know that you didn't carry off any gates or soap any windows or play any pranks, but remember, Halloween's over. From now on, you're to behave.
It really is a shame the way the boys behave these days.
Yes.
I just shudder to think of what we'll read in the Eagle tomorrow. No telling what those boys will do. They'll carry off the town some night.
Oh, forget it, Mother. Oh, boys sorry. Have to play on Halloween. Get that cocoa ready. I'm going
all
out
right.
And back. I hope they didn't do anything to our house or damage anything this year. Oh, they gave me a laugh, though, when I think about that. That Cleopatra.
Kathy, will you please forgive me? And Kathy, from now on, when you want to do any dialogue, I'll learn them. I'll be scared to death to get up in front of that literary society, but I'll do it. Kathy, I'll do it for you.
Oh, George, will you really?
Oh, sure. And at least you'll know that I won't lose my teeth and spoil it.
What's that?
What
happened? Those young vandals! Wait till I get my hands on them.
Good night.
Well, that's Father. What's happened?
Len, what in the world happened
to
you?
Tommy, where is he? I'm going to question him, but if he comes here in life, I'll have all those
hoodlums
in jail.
Gosh,
he sounds
sore.
Well, he certainly does.
Boy. What happened? Why, I'll tan every one of them within an inch of their life. You just ought to go out and back, Ma.
Oh, dear, what have they done? Is it serious?
Is it serious? Well, I hope to tell you. Those hoodlums have carried off our little house out and back.
And so our curtain falls on another picture of early day Wichita, the era of mule cars, literary societies, and Halloween, when it was wild and woolly and the boys from the old Fourth Ward had a merry time just being boys. Was brought to you by the Wichita Eagle, the only newspaper in Wichita with both a morning and evening edition. For the biggest 20 cents worth of news every week, take the Eagle, the newspaper for every member of the family. Listen again next Sunday at this same time for another story of This is Wichita.